Today we're joined by David Wachter of W Capital Partners, Stephen Milner of Gen 2 Fund Services, and Russ Steenberg of BlackRock Private Equity Partners. I have a fact that I'm going to read out, and then I'd love to hear your perspectives on it. The fact is that only 26% of fundraisings are both reaching their targets and happening within a year, so possibly being described as easy fundraisers, although perhaps that term doesn't really exist. So that means that 74% of all fundraisings are often protracted and often end in disappointment. So I guess first question for you, Russ, is this the new normal? Is fundraising simply going to take a long time and be painful?
Well, the first thing is fundraising is never easy. Second thing is I'm not sure your benchmark for determining success for fundraising is the appropriate one. And in the third, the answer to your question, is it a new normal? It comes back to something you and I have talked about many times, David. It comes back to the cycle. Right? This part of the cycle that we're in right now, if you have a fund that has been able to survive with its assets through the downturn, who has been able to provide very good distributions to its limited partners, who has a very good focused strategy that's proven time in, time out, that they can create value for their limited partners, they will raise their money depending upon what's going on with their limited partner base, because it's always shifting depending upon what's going on in capital markets and what the liability stream is. So as a result, whether it takes them a year or 16 months or 18 months to raise their money, and a lot of that depends upon how much money they're trying to raise, they will raise it and be successful. Those folks that haven't met the kind of criteria I've laid out, they will struggle.
Steve, as someone who spends a lot of time with private equity firms as sort of separate business entities, have you seen the strain on organizations as they try to go out and fundraise and maybe they're not prepared for the infrastructure challenges that they might face in a protracted fundraising?
What's really happened over the last couple of years is, especially post-Madoff plus regulation plus a much smarter and better educated limited partner, you've got a much bigger focus on operational due diligence as well as investor due diligence. And that's something that we've seen change. So historically, as a fund administrator, we wouldn't get hired till the folks are pretty close to raising the money. In the past 2 years or so, we're getting hired way before they're even meeting their first LP. The general part of the sponsor wants to have all their ducks in a row and be prepared to check the box when the LP comes in, and that's a new phenomenon. The other thing that's happened is, as you cited, there's some uncertainty as to what the size of the business is going to be, what the revenue model, i.e. the management fee, is going to look like, and how do they staff this thing? So firms like us do a very good job of being elastic and giving the fund sponsors optionality in terms of how they think about staffing the business. So a lot has changed over the last 10 years.
One of the changes, which you certainly know, Steve, is that if you're a limited partner worth their salt in their due diligence of a fund, better do their due diligence on the back office and the operations side of it. And I think that is a direct result of the Madoff situation.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you, again, we have a very nice conference room in our office, and we only really expected to use it when we were pitching our clients. But increasingly, LPs are coming in. They want to take a site tour. They want to look around. They want to look at business continuity and disaster recovery plans and all that, you know, those controls and processes that go along. And that is a fairly new phenomena for us.
David Wachter, you spend a lot of time with GPs talking to them about their portfolios, especially kind of the legacy items in their portfolios. Russ mentioned the need to get capital back to investors. Are the legacy portfolio companies that many of these GPs still hold, are they hampering future fundraising efforts?
Yes and no. The clearly harvesting a portfolio for everybody is taking longer. The tricky part is fair valuation of portfolio companies. I mean, both GPs and LPs understand that is a challenge, and there is a lot of art in it and very little science. So assessing unrealized portfolios for an LP is really, really challenging. So the idea that you can get the ball of realizations far enough down the road that an LP can feel more and more comfortable that track record and performance is valid and is more predictable is just really, really important.
At what point will the private equity fundraising market become more efficient? It seems like it's getting more painful, it's getting more protracted. Don't we have things like technology and best practices that can change things a bit and match buyer with seller in a more efficient manner than people flying on airplanes around the world and spending 5 hours in your conference room looking at documents?
Well, you know, technology's come a long way, and we're in part a technology shop. But I'll tell you, I think like in most, candidly, most asset classes, this is really about the people running the assets. And there's no substitution for spending time with managers, understanding their culture, making sure there's an alignment of interests. And technology is a complement to that, but is not primary. So I think we're in this type of process where it's largely one-to-one. I don't see that changing anytime soon.
Why would those of us in the private equity world want to make it a more efficient process? Because the more efficient it becomes, the more at risk my whole business becomes.
Well, I guess from a GP's perspective, what they would like is to get a quicker no or a quicker yes, as opposed to sort of flying around the world and having meeting after meeting after meeting.
Are something GPs love. You're correct about that.
Yeah.
But there's an ancillary benefit. It goes even, you know, we all bemoan, candidly, all the costs associated with regulation. But guess what? It's actually created a barrier of entry so that two guys can't just pop up and, you know, rent some office space and say we're in the PE business. So there's actually been, you know, a constructive side of it, if you will. Once you're over the line and you're in the club, not a bad place to be.
That sounds like most of you believe that private equity fundraising has always been pretty hard, will continue to be hard for the foreseeable future, and probably should be that way because we don't want yahoos getting into private equity the easy way.
The marginal dollar messes up a good game.
The one thing, though, David, that we've seen a little different, and I think my colleagues might have as well, in the last couple of years, the notion of bringing a cornerstone investment has become a fairly increasing way to raise money. So if you want to raise a $1 billion fund, we're oftentimes seeing $1 billion, but there could be one strategic investor coming in for several $100 million. They like to come in on the first close. They might get some economics in the sponsor. It gets the sponsor in business. It legitimizes the sponsor. And it's a new way to raise money. And I think it actually accelerates the time frame to raise money. And it's something I think you're going to see more and more of as time goes by.